Hey, amigos, you know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Hey, welcome, my friend. Hey, I'm sure it's some kind of holiday today, but I've got a little announcement to make instead. It's over. I quit. No. It's the Drew Blood's Dark Tales Spooky Season 2025 Writing Contest. Well, Chester, if you'll be patient for a second, I'll tell you all about it. You'll see the links and instructions in the show notes, by the way, but here's the gist of it. If you're an author or aspiring author and a fan of the show, you can submit your story to www.creepypastastories.com/submissions. And begin the title with Dark Tales Spooky Season 2025 Writing Contest entry. The contest opens tonight, September 19th, and closes October 3rd. The grand prize is your story performed and produced by yours truly for our Halloween season episode on October 26th. And our top three finishers will all receive free Drew Blood's Dark Tales t-shirts. All qualified entries will be published on CreepyPastaStories.com and voted on by our readers. Hey, that means if Jeff told you to go fuck yourself in the past, here's your chance to totally bypass the prick. Just a few requirements. A minimum of 3,000 words, and nothing over 13,000 words, if you please. Must comply with YouTube content guidelines, must be original and unpublished, and writers must be 18 or over, or have guardian consent. So submit your story to the link in the show notes, www.creepypastastories.com/submissions. And I look forward to all your entries. And by the way, the story will get 10 bananas in that production. You don't know what that means by now. You're not a Drew Blood fan now, are you? But that's very easy to remedy, friend. Just subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights and start listening. I just might win you over. Anyhow, come on in, friend. Let's get this show on the road. So tonight, we welcome back our old pal, Rory Duane. He was supposed to be taking a little break from writing, but as they say, no rest for the weary. In this one, we follow Fred Bourgeois, who's having a pretty lousy day. His hand won't obey him. His boss is being a dick. And oh yeah, he's accidentally triggering the end of times. Ain't that a bitch? So without further delay, from author Rory Duane, I give you The Devil's Own. Fred Bourgeois was a man not prone to flights of violence. The type of man who let women pass through doors first and had never been in a fight, let alone punched a wall in anger. His wife had divorced him after he walked in and found her in bed with his best friend, and she had taken custody of their kids, which he only saw every other weekend now. Fred was the type of guy who saw the glass neither half full nor half empty, but rather questioned what was in the glass and whether it would get him drunk or not. He had a penchant for bourbon whiskey, yes, and red oak cigarettes, and the last visit to the doctor had revealed to him that he had stage 4 lung cancer, a fact he had yet to divulge to his kids. Yes, life had thrown him a curveball on more than one occasion. He questioned if there was a God on his dark days. He worked at a local fast food restaurant, a dead-end career for a worthless life lived, and his boss was an eternal asshole. This, dear listener, is where our story takes place. Fred dipped the fries into the oil, fixed his hat, which was slick with sweat, and checked the temperature gauge. The sun outside had scorched him on his walk to work. His Ford had shit the bed and blown a rasping cloud of smoke onto the driveway. Great. At least he knew what his next paycheck was going toward.
Fred, those crates of burgers ain't gonna load themselves.
Sidney Coltrane, his demonic masochistic prick of a boss, called from the back room.
On it!
He shouted back, wiping the sweat from his brow, and exited through the back door, back into the scorching daylight. The truck had unloaded most of the cargo, crates of the usual food stores laid waiting for him, and his back gave a twinge at the thought of carrying such a burden. But such was life, so he paid no mind to the kids chucking tin cans down the street and hauled his load arm by arm back into the back room. Sidney nodded as he finished carrying the last of the crates into the storage room.
Floors need mopping, Fred. Ain't gonna do it itself now, is it?
Sure.
Things hadn't always been hard. Sure, his father used to beat his mama before disappearing into the unknown, going for a pack of smokes. Hadn't even thought up an original excuse. He left and never returned. Good riddance, Fred had thought then. His mother was a chronic alcoholic, but not the abusive kind, and had been not an absolute failure in the maternal role she had been given. But then she died of pneumonia, coming on 10 years now. Fred finished mopping the floor and went to stick the mop and bucket back into the storage room.
And caught her fucking his best friend.
Fred heard a muffled voice say as he pushed his way inside the storage room. His co-workers were standing there, three in all, huddled together. And Fred knew right well they had been talking about him. He didn't blush, nor did he address their stares. Instead, he gave them a brief nod, then turned and left them to their gossip. His mama had always told him what other people thought of you was none of your concern. Fuck 'em bloody, his pa would have said. Fred approached the cash register.
Welcome to Sid's Diner,
said Fred, nodding to the two teenagers. A couple, he guessed, by the way the blonde chick had her arm nestled around the red-haired kid.
What can I get you?
I'll have a...
Fred noticed a man standing beyond the window, dressed in a boiler suit. Blood smeared his clothing, a meat cleaver held in hand. Scarlet dribbles dripping. Dripping. Drip. 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 His face was the most haunting part. Black smog rested where his features should have been. And something familiar about the scene, but he couldn't think what.
Are you deaf?
A voice spoke. Fred snapped back to the moment. He looked from the teen couple back to the window, but there was nobody there.
What?
Said Fred.
I said, are you fucking deaf or just stupid?
Said the red-haired kid. The blonde chick giggled. Fred swallowed that ball of dread that rose in his stomach. With every passing day, it was bloating like a lake of acid floating in his core. But he pushed it down, pushed it away.
Sorry,
smiled Fred, taking their order and cashing them up. He went to work on their food. And so it was. Fred clocked out and headed home. He let himself inside, and switching on the lights, darkness awaited him. He flicked the switch twice more and sighed. The electricity had been shut off. Great. He grabbed a flashlight he kept under the sink and then lit a few candles around the house. A shower sounded great, even a cold one. So getting undressed, he was about to get into the shower when movement in the corner of his eye made him freeze. He was not alone. Fred turned, expecting to see some hooded figure storming towards him, and even let out a shriek. But there was nothing. He shivered, feeling the temperature in the stifling bathroom had dropped by 10 degrees. Something moved in the shadows, and stepping closer, he frowned. Cockroaches swarmed out from a gaping hole in the corner. Massive rat-sized fuckers that could eat a man whole. He screamed before they wiggled their way up his legs, along his arms, up his neck, and writhed across his flesh before the screams were choked silent. His throat was full of them now, and he collapsed. Fred awoke. He was in bed. It had all been a dream. He went to the bathroom and coughed up a lump of something red and flushed it down the toilet without further inspection. The doctor had given him a year to live at best. How would he break the news to his kids? He shivered to think of a world where he would hurt them, even if it was through his own mortality that would cause the damage. He would strive to shield them from the worst of it. No, now was not the time. He got dressed, and looking at the clock, he was running late, so he hauled ass and ran to work. Halfway there, cop cars were closing off an intersection. Three cars were piled up and blood was leaking from a door. He paused briefly to look on with the other bystanders. In the corner of his vision, he saw a familiar figure. He turned and only briefly made out the boiler suit, bloodstains, and meat cleaver. But then it was gone, like a nightmare come sunrise. Turning, he ran the rest of the way to work, putting all thoughts of specters to the back of his mind. He was halfway through the shift when the voices began. They spoke to him of dark deeds left unsaid.
"Poor Fred," the voice hissed. "How you have fallen from grace. But let me show you the way."
He pushed the voice from his mind and finished mopping the floor. Then, pushing his way into the back room, he stored the bucket and mop. The mirror on the wall made him pause. He was the one now dressed in a boiler suit, with bloodstains covering it entirely. He lifted his hand, and there was a meat cleaver, dripping with blood. Drip. Drip. Drip.
"No!" Fred shook his head. "This ain't real."
"It's realer than you could possibly imagine," the voice hissed once more. And then he recognized the voice. His father's voice. "You see, son," the voice continued.
His father was standing behind him now, also dressed in a blood-smeared boiler suit and clutching a cleaver.
"We are not so different, you and I."
Fred turned to look, but nothing was there. He felt burning in his hand. Then looking down, a pentagram was burned into the flesh of his right palm.
"What in the world?"
he said, placing the meat cleaver down and inspecting the burn mark further.
"Fred!"
Sydney's voice came from the other side of the door.
"You in there?"
Fred jammed down on the lock before he knew what he was doing, but his right hand acted of its own accord, slamming itself onto the meat cleaver, gripping the handle steadily, like an old friend.
"Fred?"
Sid rattled the door on its hinges by shaking it.
"Open this fucking door right now, or you're fired."
His right hand swung the cleaver through the air, as if testing the water. It moved as if an alien had taken over his brain and was using him like a puppet on strings. That's when the door clicked open and swung wide. Sydney stood on the other side, staring blank-faced at Fred.
"Why are you not dressed in your uniform?"
Sid shouted. He took a step forward.
"No, don't!"
shouted Fred, but it was far too late. His right hand shot out, and the meat cleaver bit down into Sid's forehead, splitting his skull open like a damn walnut. Sid's expression was one of humor and confusion. His eyes crossed, looking up at the blade protruding from his forehead, and then he dropped to the ground.
What in the world?
Fred mumbled, looking at the palm of his hand. The burn mark flared up in fire. His hand grabbed the handle of the cleaver and forced it from the boss's skull, blood pooling about the floor. Fred grabbed Sid's body by the arms, and his traitorous hand agreed to the task, it seemed, as both limbs, possessed and otherwise, coincided in dragging Sid into the back room. He left his boss's corpse in the freezer and mopped up the blood before any of his co-workers found it. His fist clenched, shaken. Should he cut it off? Fred went and picked up the cleaver, his left hand shaken. He brought down the blade, aiming to dismember the right, but the cleaver stopped just before biting into the flesh.
Why, son? Why would you forsake your birthright?
His father's voice floated through his mind.
I don't want to be like you,
he shouted into the empty corridor.
You don't have a choice. Embrace your destiny.
Hello?
A voice called. Fred stuck his head around the corner and saw the couple from yesterday.
Oh, shit.
His hand clenched once more, trying to snatch out at empty air towards the couple. He had an idea then. Fred went to the storage room and took a sling from the first aid kit and tied the murdering hand to his chest as tight as he could. It struggled, but he wrapped the fucker tighter. Going to the counter, he smiled as best he could. One of his co-workers was working the fryer.
Welcome to Sid's Diner.
Sid's dead. You killed him.
Another voice hissed in his mind.
Shut up,
muttered Fred.
What?
Said the red-haired kid.
Well, what can I get for you?
I'll have a...
Kill them. Kill them all.
No!
Shouted Fred.
No,
said the blonde chick.
No what?
Frowned the red-haired kid.
I'll be right back.
Fred ran around to the storage room. One of his co-workers was in there. Fred looked and saw the freezer had blood specks on its surface.
Fred, where's Sid?
Joe asked.
Don't know.
He was just looking for you.
I don't know where he is. Probably went out for a smoke.
Joe frowned.
Right. Anyway, I need to grab some burgers out the freezer.
No!
Fred jumped in front of Joe, blocking him from opening the freezer.
Get out of my way!
Joe went to push past Fred, and then he frowned deeper, seeing the blood specks, Fred presumed.
What in the...
Joe pushed Fred and yanked the freezer open. It was empty. That's when Fred saw his boss lurching around the corner. Face pale, eyes glowing yellow. The same yellow that the burn mark possessed. Joe saw Fred's expression and then went to turn. But Sid ran and grabbed Joe and bit down into the side of his neck, teeth sinking into the tendons, chowing down on the artery. Blood spurted out in a torrent, spraying across Fred's face. Joe screamed. Sid, or what used to be his boss, ripped deeper, and the blood flew up into the air. Joe dropped to the ground. Sid was right on top of him, chewing into his nose, ripping it off with one bite, claws digging into his right eye. The eyeball popped right out, white tendon dangling like a hangman's noose. Fred turned and vomited. Joe stopped thrashing around and lay dead, but Sid was still having a buffet on his co-worker's face. Fred ran from the storage room, locking Sid inside.
What was that scream?
Asked Sharon, making Fred turn and let out a squeak.
Nothing.
It came from inside the storage room. Is that blood?
Sharon stepped closer.
No. It's...
A growl came from inside the storage room.
Fred, what's going on?
Nothing.
Let me...
The sling ripped open then as Sharon was passing by, and his right hand shot out and grabbed her by the throat.
What?
Her question was shut off as his fingers bit into her throat, and Fred could only stare in horror at her expression. His hand tightened around her throat, and he punched his arm with his left fist, but the demented hand just tightened further until her eyes watered and she let out a gasp, falling to the floor with a crunch. Her windpipe collapsed. Fred ran. He ran from the diner, leaving the chaos behind. Out on the street, he was about halfway down when screams behind him made him turn. There was Sharon, barely visible, running onto the road, and a sedan screeched to a halt. The driver jumped out of the vehicle, shouting. Sharon, or what used to be her, dove onto the driver, and Fred turned away, heart thumping in his ears. He got home and switched on the television, switching to the news.
"We have just received reports of an assault on Whitley Avenue,"
the news reporter was saying.
"Police are warning all civilians to avoid the area."
Images were displayed of crowds of people running from a familiar trio at the fore. His boss and co-workers were running down a street, chasing civilians. But it wasn't just the three of them. There were at least a dozen people, eyes yellow, fangs bared. He switched off the television. What in the world was happening? Was his possessed hand turning anybody it killed into some type of zombie? Fred went down to the basement. His father had been an engineer. Fred still had his tools kept down there. He switched on the table saw.
"Right?"
He looked at his right hand, which twitched.
"It's time you and me parted ways."
He stuck his hand down onto the surface and then pushed his wrist into the blade. It let out a screeching sound. The blade shuddered and then snapped.
"Shit!"
he shouted, looking at his wrist. The flesh was unharmed. He went back upstairs. Screams outside made him peek through the window. Streams of people were running around, eyes all yellow, sniffing at the air. Fred went and packed some clothes, then got his Smith & Wesson from the gun safe. He didn't know what he'd use his father's pistol for, but he felt more secure with it held in his hand. His unpossessed hand, that was. He wasn't giving that fucker a loaded gun. Outside, Fred ran to an abandoned vehicle, the hazard light still flashing, blood pooled about the ground beside it. He jumped in and switched on the engine. It came to life with a roar. There was only one place he could think to go, and that was his best friend's house. The same friend who had fucked his wife. But as his father had been fond of saying, you make do with the tools you're given. He pressed the gas pedal to the floor, and the car kicked out, speeding down the road, hitting a zombie running by on the way. He pulled up outside Alan's house, and Alan's car was parked in the driveway, along with his ex-wife's. Parking the truck on the driveway, he got out and went to the door, ringing the buzzer.
"Who in the fuck is it?"
Alan's voice droned through the buzzer.
"Who do you think it is, asshole? Open up the door!"
The door clicked open and Fred let himself in. Inside, he shut the door, and Alan and his ex-wife were standing at the end of the corridor. His heart sank further when he heard footsteps, and his two girls ran around from the kitchen.
"Daddy?"
said Liana. They ran to him, but he held up his left hand, halting them.
"Don't come near me."
"Why?"
asked Lorna, his bitch ex-wife.
"Because something is very wrong with me."
Fred didn't know what to say. How could he explain the shit show that he had caused?
"We always knew that,"
Lorna shot.
"What's wrong with you, Dad?"
asked Bianca, his younger daughter.
"This."
He held up his right palm, showing them the burn mark of the pentagram.
"Why in the world would you do that to yourself?"
asked Lorna. He ignored his wife.
Alan, I don't like you anymore. But do you still have that cabin?
Yeah, why?
Because we need to get the hell out of the city. Things are bad now, but will get worse.
Why? What's going on out there? The news channels went down 10 minutes ago.
Alan walked closer. He inspected the mark on Fred's hand.
I caused it.
Fred shook his head.
I didn't mean to.
You caused what's going on out there?
Asked Lorna. He nodded and then proceeded to explain everything that had happened.
This can't be real,
grunted Lorna.
What does it mean, Daddy?
Said Liana. He shook his head once more.
I don't know, baby girl, but you're better off in the cabin away from harm.
Then we'll leave right now,
said Alan, pushing past Fred, and Fred nodded. His hand twitched, then balled itself into a fist and punched Alan in the face, breaking his nose. Blood spurted out onto the ground. Alan grunted, backing away. Fred sighed and gripped his right hand under his left arm.
You see, I've no control over it.
I guess I deserve that.
Yeah, you sure fucking did, but that wasn't me.
Then we'll all go to the cabin,
said Bianca, always the innocent angel. Fred smiled sadly.
I can't go with you, Bianca.
Why? Will your hand hurt us? Of course it will,
Lorna huffed.
You were always...
But what his ex-wife was going to say next was cut off as the window in the kitchen smashed open. A figure dove in through the glass and hit the ground rolling.
Get behind me!
Fred shouted, and they all ran behind him as the zombie stood and looked around. Fred said a silent prayer and then pulled out his pistol with his right hand. The zombie saw him and the others and ran towards them. He let off a shot. The bullet ripped open the fucker's brain and it hit the floor. He sighed, nodding.
It worked.
What worked?
The hand gripped the pistol tighter, and he tried clawing the pistol out of its grip with his other hand, but to no avail.
Run!
Shouted Fred, and Alan was already ahead of him, pulling the door open and pushing his kids through the doorway. Lorna followed, tears in her eyes. The pistol aimed, and he smashed down on the butt of the pistol with his left hand. The bullet caught Alan in the shoulder instead of the face. Alan grunted, stumbling back against the wall, and then dove out through the doorway, shutting the door closed behind him. Fred watched from the window as they filed into Alan's car and back down the driveway. He sighed with relief. They were safe, for now. From him more so than the hordes of zombies. He jumped into the truck and fired up the engine. His right hand still held the pistol.
Come on, work with me. If you want to kill people, fine, but I need you to drive right now.
His hand twitched and then released the pistol. It, for now, seemed to be acting in unison with his body. He pulled out of the driveway, and then halfway down the street, an army truck drove past through the intersection. About a dozen zombies were trailing behind it, running fast, and the truck skidded, then flipped over and slid about 20 feet before coming to a stop. Fred stopped his truck and got out, holding the pistol in his left hand. He fired a shot, but the bullet did little harm, taking the nearest zombie through the head. The fucker just ran on, unperturbed. He sighed, slipping the pistol into his right hand and took aim. The bullet tore through the zombie's skull and it collapsed. The zombies were uninterested in him as the soldiers pushed open the door and climbed out of the cab. He slung a semi-automatic rifle over his shoulder and looked around. The zombies swarmed around his truck. The soldier noticed Fred then. Fred let off 3 more shots, each one finding the mark, as the zombies were standing still, staring up and growling at the soldier.
Get the fuck out of here!
The soldier shouted.
I ain't going anywhere!
Fred shouted back, taking aim and letting off 10 more shots, most finding the mark, and then there were only 3 zombies left. Fred slipped out the magazine from his pistol and reloaded. He shot the last 3 fuckers, walking up and sticking the barrel of his pistol against the last one's skull. The soldier nodded to Fred, then jumped down from the truck.
"You bit?"
he asked. Fred shook his head.
"No, are you?"
The soldier smiled.
"I'm too quick for these fuckers."
Fred noted the name on the soldier's shirt.
"Mendez, what's the situation like?"
"It's a bag of shit. These fucks just won't die. How'd you kill them?"
"I unloaded 3 mags into the bastards before hauling ass. My squad got wiped out."
"I don't know."
Fred hesitated in letting the soldier know Fred was the reason for the outbreak. Now just wasn't the time.
"Well, I guess we best get back to base."
Mendez nodded to the truck.
"Can you drive me back to Fort Williams?"
Fred agreed to drive him. They got into the truck and Fred fired up the engine. They drove the road slowly. Zombies were everywhere, but seemed not to notice them, simply sniffing at the air as they passed. An hour later, they arrived at the base. The place was swarmed with zombies, all pressed up against the fence. Inside, the soldiers were visible on the rooftop of the main building. 2 soldiers manned the gate, and as they parked the truck outside, they opened the gate, letting Fred drive through. Sniper fire broke through the silence as marksmen on the roof tried to take down the Zeds with little success. Once the gate was shut behind them, Mendez jumped out of the truck. Fred filed out behind them.
"Mendez, where's the rest of Charlie's squad?"
"Dead, sir."
Mendez shook his head.
"There were too many of the fuckers."
"Shit."
The officer, Sergeant Bradley by his tag, shook his head.
"What are you doing bringing civilians back onto the base?"
Bradley said, noticing Fred.
"This guy saved my life. He was able to kill the Zeds."
Bradley frowned.
"How? We put hundreds of rounds into them without any effect."
Fred sighed and then explained everything to Mendez and Bradley.
"You're shitting me, right?"
said Bradley, laughing. Fred showed him the palm of his hand.
"Holy shit. You weren't lying."
"I think I have an idea. Where's your ammo store?"
asked Fred. Bradley nodded.
"Well, if you have some way to deal with these Zeds, we'd be much obliged."
The sergeant led him to the arsenal. Fred placed his right palm down onto the surface of one box of bullets. Instantly, the ground vibrated. Then the box began to glow, then died out.
"What was that?"
asked Mendez.
"I think we might have a magician in our midst,"
smiled Bradley.
"Load these bullets and try them out."
Fred went around the room, enchanting each box. Mendez ran back in when he was finished.
"It damn well worked." "Good. Let's get these fuckers before they get out of control."
They filed outside, the soldiers on the roof shooting Zeds at will, blasting their brains apart.
"Right. Boys, get in the trucks. We're going via convoy."
Bradley waved for the men on the roof to come down. As they passed, Fred caught a few of them glancing at him suspiciously. They jumped into army trucks, Fred getting into the one Mendez was driving. They offered Fred a rifle, but he declined, not trusting his hand. The soldiers opened the gate and the convoy slipped out fluidly. The Zeds turned and ran after them, but were soon lost in their wake. The town was rampant. People waved to them from rooftops, but the soldiers stayed the course.
"Where are we headed?"
"Where did this start?"
"Sid's Diner."
"Then that's where we're going."
Sid's Diner was a horror scene if ever there was one. Hundreds of Zeds stood docile around the building, which had changed since Fred last saw it. The air was filled with mist, and a red haze glowed from inside the diner. They stopped at the junction and got out. The Zeds turned, eyes now aglow with the same red hue. As they began to shuffle forward, the soldiers opened fire, and the Zeds began to run. Fred had left his pistol back at the army base, not wanting to chance letting his haunted hand take hold of it near the soldiers. The soldiers were sharpshooters to a man,
but the Zeds were simply too many. And as they neared, Bradley turned and looked at Fred.
Mendez, get him inside the diner. Whatever's going on will be finished in there.
Mendez grabbed Fred by the collar, but he didn't need telling twice as the Zeds rushed at the soldiers, who stood firmly in place. No fear. They ran around the trucks and Mendez was in front of Fred. As they came upon the diner, Fred looked back to see the Zed swarming the soldiers now. He turned away. They entered the diner. The floor was bulging and cracked with what looked like luminous tree trunks, but more flesh than root. A figure stood behind the counter, smiling. It was Fred's father.
"Hello, Fred."
His father was wearing the same boiler suit as Fred, blood smears covering the leather.
"You know this guy?"
Mendez asked Fred. He nodded.
"Hello, father. It's been a long time."
"An eternity."
His father walked from behind the counter.
"What are you doing here?"
Fred spat as his father came within striking distance.
"I just wanted to see you one last time before the end."
"End? What do you mean?"
Mendez switched off his radio, which had begun to hiss static.
"The end of days, my son."
His father nodded.
"I always knew it would just be me and you. You'll excuse me if I keep this conversation between just you and I."
He snapped his fingers, and the fleshy roots broke apart and arms shot out of the ground. The luminescent limbs grabbed hold of Mendez's ankles. Then more poured out, until Mendez was lying on the ground, hands holding him down. And then he was sucked into the floor.
"Now..."
His father smiled wider.
"Let us speak."
"What did you do to him?"
Fred snarled, looking at the empty space where Mendez had just been.
"He's in the other world now."
"Other world?"
"The next dimension. Where do you think I've been all these years?"
Fred shook his head.
"You're insane."
"Nonsense. I am the sanest person on this godforsaken planet."
His father frowned.
"But soon you will see the truth."
His father walked to the window. Fred followed, looking out. The sky was dark, as if an eclipse was ongoing, but the sun was visible. The air had thickened, and now it was a scarlet fog which covered everything.
"Yes, the other world is almost upon us. The veil is thinning."
"What do you mean?"
Fred looked at his father.
"If I were you, son, I would wish to be with my children when the end comes."
Fred thought of his children, but they were safe in the cabin.
"Not safe. Nowhere safe,"
his father said, as if reading his mind.
"You bastard!"
Fred took a swipe at his father with his right fist, but instead of hitting him, Fred was blasted backwards, hitting the wall and collapsing to the ground.
"You think you can hurt me?"
His father stood above him.
"Who do you think broke the seal?"
You caused this?"
"Indeed. I tried to show you the way, son, but you are too sentimental for these humans. It will be your undoing."
The ground opened then, and Fred fell, and fell, and fell into darkness. He awoke. Strange creatures slithered here and there. The ground pulsated with energy. Fred stood up, looking around. He was still inside the diner, but everything was covered in red slime. The floor, the walls, and the air burned as he inhaled what seemed acid to his lungs. Fred stumbled outside, and the sky was dark. The fog had vanished, but the figures swarming down the street, shuffling in a loping gait that resembled some deformed, injured beast at a prowl, were blurred. The buildings around him were ruins, rafters exposed in the flame. Fred saw a creature shuffle towards him, and he recognized the uniform instantly. As it came forward, close enough to smell the putrid, burning flesh, he saw the name inscribed on the uniform, Mendez. His compatriot had been swallowed into this nightmarish realm and transfigured into a horrific mutant. Fred turned and ran from the scene, jumping into the army truck and switching the ignition. The truck ground to life and he put his foot down. The truck skidded around as he turned up the street, leaving the diner behind. He headed west, coming to the freeway, and headed north towards the cabin in the woods, where he hoped his family was unharmed. Pulling up to the cabin, Fred switched off the ignition. He got out and approached. The front door was locked, so he knocked on it. The door opened, and his heart beat wildly in his chest, but his old best friend seemed unchanged, thankfully.
"Are they okay?"
Fred asked. He pushed his way past Alan.
"Why wouldn't they be?"
"Bianca! Liana!"
Fred called out.
"Daddy, help!"
shouted Bianca from inside the cabin's kitchen. Fred ran in and saw his ex-wife lying on the floor, convulsing.
"Daddy,"
muttered Liana.
"What's happening to her?"
"Come here, girls."
Fred grabbed Bianca and Liana and pulled them away from Lorna, whose skin was beginning to redden and her eyes shot open, revealing the same red hue as the Zed's. Alan came running in and took one look at Lorna.
"Holy shit!"
His ex-wife jumped up and ran at Alan, who tried to block her. But Lorna, or what used to be her, took a chunk out of his neck as she bit down. Lorna turned, facing the girls now, as Alan collapsed to the ground and began to shake and shudder. Fred pushed the girls behind him as Lorna came running at him. He punched her in the face with his right fist, and the Zed was blasted back across the room, hitting the wall and sliding to the ground.
"Run!"
Fred shouted, and his girls didn't hesitate. They filed outside, shutting the screaming Zeds inside. Fred got them inside the truck as Alan jumped through the front window, rolling across the ground. Fred switched the ignition on and the truck sped forward, the wheels crunching over the Zed's skull with a pop. He pressed down on the gas and they sped away into the fog.
"Where are we going, Daddy?"
asked Bianca.
"Somewhere safe, baby. Don't you worry."
"What happened to Mom?"
asked Liana, scorn deep in her tone.
"Did you kill her?"
"That's not Mommy anymore, hon. I don't know how to fix this."
Fred felt tears brim in his eyes.
"It's okay, Daddy,"
said Bianca.
"We know you'll keep us safe."
Fred pulled onto the freeway and headed north, away from civilization. He drove for hours and the girls had fallen asleep.
"Where are you going, son?"
His father's voice spoke through his mind.
"You cannot outrun your destiny."
"I sure as shit can try."
Fred pulled into a gas station, filled the truck up. Then, double-checking the girls were safe and asleep, he went into the building and grabbed 4 jerry cans, then filled them too, slipping them into the truck. He drove until his eyes burned with tiredness. He came to a junction. A sign displayed a hunting lodge to the west, so Fred headed west. Coming to the lodge, he woke Liana and carried Bianca inside. He placed Bianca in a bed upstairs and then looked around, finding an old rifle in the kitchen with some boxes of ammo. His right hand twitched to grab hold of the rifle, but he kept that fucker well away from the trigger. Sitting down in the living room, he sighed and looked Leona in the eyes.
What are we doing here?
I don't know, hon. He shook his head. But whatever is happening, I promise to try to protect you both no matter what.
She nodded, sniffing. The dark sky outside grew darker. The air filled with fog grew from diluted blood to pure crimson. Fred left Leona, who had fallen asleep once more, and went to the window. A figure was standing outside. Fred noted the boiler suit and meat cleaver held in hand.
You cannot hide, my son.
I ain't hiding.
Look into my eyes and see truth, my son.
And Fred looked into his father's eyes and saw. The other world was a mirror of reality, a tainted replica of the world humans inhabited. It had been here forever, since the dawn of time, since the suns were cradled into their fields of dust, since man had left the jungle and stood upright. It had been here.
You see, my son, this world is ours to rule now.
I don't want any part of it.
Fred turned away from the window, abandoning his father to the deformed planet and its malignant inhabitants. He fetched a blanket and slipped it over Leona, and then sat with the rifle in his left hand. His right palm burned more than it had at the beginning. What was only hours before seemed an eternity. Looking at the palm of his hand, he had an idea.
The fuck if I'm gonna let anyone hurt my girls?
Fred went outside and got the jerry cans of gas, and then with his right hand he poured it in a circle surrounding the lodge. When he was finished, he flicked his lighter, and the gas took light instantly, burning in a deep green hue. He went back inside and locked the door. His father still stood outside the lodge, but outside of the circle. His father tried to take a step inside, but hissed as the flames burned his flesh, and Fred smiled.
Now, father, let's see who the real demon is.
Howling came from outside, and Fred ran to the window on the opposite side of the room and saw deformed wolves break through the tree line. There were at least a dozen. Fred took aim, his right hand twitching as he slipped the index finger onto the trigger. The rifle boomed as it kicked back, and green sparks fizzed out from the barrel. The bullet took the alpha through the skull, but the others seemed unperturbed. They broke into a run, dividing into two ranks, one going left, one going right. The circle of fire seemed to do little harm. Fred shot two more, taking the first through the stomach, the second through the right eye. It was then that hell truly broke loose. The wolves smashed in through the window, two of them, and Fred jumped back as the dark-furred wolf snarled at him, fangs flaring, red eyes luminescent. Fred butted the fucker in the mouth as it lunged forward, and then shot the bastard in the brain. The other wolf dodged aside and went for Leona, who had woken up from the noise of the gunfire and was screaming. The wolf ran for her and was about two paces away, but Fred was cool as a summer's breeze, taking aim, and the bullet rattled into the back of the beast's skull. It collapsed. More were jumping through the window, and Fred grabbed Leona. Bianca had also awoken and was standing on the stairs.
Get back in the room,
he shouted, pushing Leona forward. His daughters ran inside the bedroom and Fred slammed the door shut behind them, seeing three wolves come snarling up the stairs. He looked out the window and saw more wolves coming through the tree line, dozens of them. The circle of fire had died out, and his father stood below the window, smiling a deranged smile, still clutching the meat cleaver.
"Your flesh is my flesh. Give your daughters a chance. Come with me."
"You want me? Come and get me!"
Fred shouted, taking aim through the scope, but his father had vanished. Footsteps appeared on the stairs. Fred faced the doorway, which had been thrashed by the wolves constantly. He aimed his rifle at the door as the hinges threatened to give way. The door bulged inward and hit the floor. His father stood in the doorway, the wolves circling the corridor behind him.
"You have one more chance, son. Come with me. Let us rule this other world in unison. Let there be peace amongst monsters."
"Fuck you!"
Fred blind fired at his father. The bullet simply passed through him without doing damage. Fred threw the rifle down onto the ground.
"Come on then, father. Let's see what you're made of."
His father stepped inside the room, brandishing the meat cleaver in his hand, and Bianca had begun to cry. Fred looked behind him to see Liana clutching Bianca protectively. His father came screaming at him, cleaver held aloft. Fred dove aside as the blade almost caught him across the face. Fred lunged forward from the side and punched his father in the side of the head with his right fist, making the old man stumble backward. He gave his father no breathing space, connecting another punch into the man's gut. The meat cleaver was dropped. Fred dove and snatched it up, then faced the demon that had shadowed his life and mine these past years.
"I always knew it would come to this,"
his father's voice hissed through his mind.
"It's your own doing."
Fred lifted the blade in his right hand. It glowed in that same sickly green hue, and the tip of the blade was almost white.
"You dug your own grave. Now lie in it!"
And with that, Fred surged forward and went to strike the final blow. But the wolves, which had been pacing back and forth beyond the doorway, flooded into the room, making Fred turn and back away.
"Throw down the weapon, son."
"Come fucking get it!"
The wolves pounced. Three came at him at once. He sank the blade into the first one's gut, ripping open rotten entrails which spilled out onto the ground, filling Fred's nose with putrid decay. Fred turned as the other two leaped, and one bit into his wrist, the other his leg. They ripped into him, and Fred screamed. The cleaver fell from his hand as the wolves bit deeper, and he tried to punch the one grabbing onto his arm with his left fist, but did little damage. More were pouring in through the doorway, grabbing onto his other arm and leg, and he found himself pinned to the floor. He looked across the room and saw his father picking up the meat cleaver. Then his father looked at him, and the deranged smile was replaced with a look of loathing. His father turned towards Bianca and Liana and took a step forward. Fred shouted until his lungs burned as his father lifted the cleaver, going to strike. Something burned in him then, and the pentagram on his right palm glowed in a brilliant white. Fred thought of his life. It flashed before his eyes. The days spent as a child, his father's absence, his wife's betrayal, and his own mortality. Energy flooded from him. The wolves let go, barking and yelping. They tried to flee back through the doorway, but Fred screamed louder. The air was filled with a blast of pure white energy. He screamed until his voice boomed. The wolves disintegrated before his very eyes, burned apart in a white glow. His father stumbled backward, shielding his eyes.
No, don't!
But Fred didn't take pity on this vile creature. Instead, he gripped hold of his father by the throat with his right hand. The pentagram burned into the demon's flesh. His father sank the cleaver into Fred's stomach once, twice, three times. But Fred held on until his father's eyes rolled back in his head and steam wafted out from them. He collapsed to the ground, burning in that same white glow, until nothing remained, nothing but the meat cleaver. It was then that the energy that had pervaded every sense of his being diminished. Fred felt the wounds burn now. He fell. Bianca and Liana rushed to him.
Daddy!
Screamed Bianca. The sky outside the window was beginning to brighten, and the red fog was receding. The sun raised its scarlet face.
It'll be okay, baby,
smiled Fred, blood dribbling from his lips. Liana told her father she loved him. Fred felt his soul drift. His eyes began to close, and darkness swallowed him whole. Liana finished filling the grave with dirt and stood up. Bianca was crying, so she went and hugged her sister.
It'll be okay.
But she knew it was a lie. They fixed a cross over their father's grave, painted on his name, then went and got in the truck. Pulling away from the lodge, Liana headed back towards the freeway and took the left turn, headed north to the forest, away from the Zeds. A few stragglers wandered on the freeway, but they avoided these, their shambling gaits and blood-curdling cries falling away in the distance. They came to a town and refilled the truck. It was when Liana was about to hop back in when she felt the sensation of being watched.
Don't fucking move!
A deep voice called out. Liana froze.
Turn around slowly!
Liana turned, seeing the man outfitted in military gear. Two more men were standing close behind, all training automatic rifles at her.
You been bit?
She shook her head.
You lying?
I haven't been bit.
She pulled up her sleeves, showing the soldier. The soldier nodded and then lowered his rifle.
Can't be too careful. People turn in a few hours. Is there anyone else with you?
Liana shook her head. Bianca was in the gas station and would have heard the voices. With any luck, these men would only kill her and Bianca would be safe.
I'm Chad, said the soldier.
He walked up closer to Liana, inspected her at length, making sure she hadn't been bit.
You can come with us. We've got an outpost just east of here.
Chad smiled, and Liana thought it looked real enough. Bianca came out of the station then, walking towards them. Chad held his rifle trained on her.
It's my sister,
said Liana. Chad nodded, then went and inspected Bianca. He walked back over to her.
Right. No more lies, or else you can take your chances with the zombies. Got it?
Liana nodded.
Let's get moving then. Boys, let's go.
The two other soldiers jumped into the truck and Chad sat between Liana and Bianca in the back. They drove down through the main street of town, then pulled right, headed east. And Liana's hope rose with the miles that passed. Liana gripped Bianca's hand in hers, and together they headed towards their new life. The truck sped on down the road, leaving the ghosts of her past in its wake.
And that was The Devil's Own by our pal Rory Duane. A little about the author. Old Rory, also known as R.C.J. Duane, is an author living in the Midlands of Ireland.
He's currently writing a young adult novel based on a dream he had, titled Delvere, College of Dreams and Magic. You can check out his website at RoryDwayneArt@WordPress.com. You can also find him on Facebook, YouTube, and Patreon as well.
Thank you, Rory.
I love doing that.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillinTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, friend, at least till next week. So may the wind be at your back and may the road rise up to meet you. Get those submissions in for the big contest, y'all. Really looking forward to seeing what y'all come up with. And as always, go fuck yourselves.
Oh yeah. Out.